Alright.
So the topic of the day was about foreigners that moved to the United States of America have more of a merchant background and ancestry, at least in the recent 100 to 200 to possibly even 300 years, versus black, Moorish American, African American, people that was born in America that have a copper tone texture were born as workers, and their ancestry was workers as well from the last 100 to last 200 to possibly 300 on up to 500 years.
And on top of that, we don't control the distribution network for any of the goods we consume other than black market goods.
And we don't even control that in a sense. You know what I'm saying?
Because, again, we don't own the boats or the planes, and we're not distributing or even producing any of the black market goods. Now, this could change with the marijuana, and I think that's why America is real resistant, because they know that if we use our agricultural background and knowledge and we able to produce marijuana and it becomes the cash crop above tobacco, above soybeans, above corn, above all of that, and it's black people that control the level of the money, then they lose a measure of control. But even if you look at the industries where we dominate, entertainment, the music, the movies, the athletics, we don't control any of those distribution networks, and we're not manufacturing at a high enough clip that they have to do business with us. You know, and that's why I find it funny when people say, well, I want to own my master's. Well, that's all well and good if you can sell your catalog. But if you're going to be dependent upon distributing your music to make your catalog and your master's profitable, we don't buy music enough.
We stream music enough.
To an extent.
I wonder, what is the true streaming, the full streaming royalties? Because, of course, they got to be giving you whatever distribution amount that they want to give you.
Right. But you also have to look at how they collect those royalties. You know what I'm saying? And we don't control the ASCAP or the BMIs. So if you were to do an audit, they could always just say, well, you had so many plays of your music over all these platforms, but they control the platforms. They control the radio stations. They control even the streaming services. You know what I'm
but
saying?
But what I'm saying is, if we had a, okay, like Tidal.
Right.
Tidal is black owned.
Right.
Now, okay, and he has a distribution network,
right?
You know, a source. What is he collecting, or what is Tidal collecting on the royalties directly with the royalty issuers?
But that's where the issue becomes, because it's like, okay, if you look at the percentage of Tidal ownership in the streaming and distribution world, it might be 6 to 10% penetration, you know what I'm saying? But they still fighting a uphill battle against Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, you know what I'm saying?
Right, and YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube.
YouTube is, I'm sure, is number one. You know,
second. I don't know.
Second, I might give it to Apple, and then third, I probably give it to Spotify, and then fourth, probably give it to Pandora.
And that's what I'm saying is, like, when they control those levels of direct payment to artists, then, like I said, unless you can request an audit for true plays, then...
So you're saying request an audit from ASCAP, BMI, CSAC.
Yeah.
So if you could do, if you got your own website and you got a bunch of streams on your website, your own media player, you could request the audit to ASCAP, BMI, and get paid directly.
Yeah.
What's the cut from ASCAP and BMI versus the YouTube cut is like 0.00000, like 8 to 10 zeros and then 10. So it's like 10 cents every 1,000 type shit. Some crazy shit like that. Or maybe $1 every 1,000 or something, you know what I'm saying?
And then that's how it ends up working is essentially a million plays get you $8,000. You know what I'm saying? So, and then that's going to be split.
But what it gets you on the, what YouTube getting before they cut you your $8,000?
You never know because they cut, again, different royalty rates with mass producers versus whether they have, like, direct marketers who want, you know, different users. So they might make 25,000, 30,000 off a million views.
From and ASCAP and BMI is paying them, but who's paying ASCAP and BMI? I forgot what it's called. Some type of association, because it's a government.
I mean, something like that. No, it's really the RIAA. Like,
yeah, the RIAA, Recording Industry
Association. Yeah. And that's, you know what I'm saying, between they dues, between, you know, the membership fees for all of the people who report to them, that's how they make money.
You know what? That's one thing we need. We're going to put that on our task list. We really need to investigate, you know what I'm saying, what the RIAA is looking for and what they're paying. That's what get down, ball down to. That's the ultimate underwriter. You know what I'm saying? All these labels and shit like that, that ain't necessarily, they brokers. You know what I'm saying? Some of them might be marketers for brokers type
and
shit.
And I mean, that's what it is, I mean, even in that industry, because the payola can be done above board, and that's why I say owning your masters is a big myth unless you got a distribution network.
Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
Because as soon as you own your masters, then you start to see that your music disappears from the radio. And so it's like, yeah, do you want to collect 100% of $10? Or do you want to collect 20% to do business with the American business people? And then you have a choice. If you make the wrong choice, then even if you got the best business practices, you got the best workforce, they gonna make it so they gonna bring your demise. And that's why, you know, we look at, you know, people like Gaddafi and, you know, people over in, you know, in places where they have resources, Chavez, and, down in Venezuela, or, you know, Noriega and Marcos over in the Philippines, and, you know, different places where...
And so, they, so other words, you're saying, really, they rocking with the formula more than they rocking with the colors, man.
Nah, they rocking with the people who control the people who house the resources. Like, so, yeah. We don't control any of the resources because we in lands where we don't have our own nation. And we don't have our own nation because... we've always failed to see the benefit of incorporating lands that we own. You know, so we're in America.
Just lingering.
Just here. Just, you know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We don't
own your own goons on you.
We don't own any nations. We don't own it. I mean, even the lands that we do own,
it's not consolidated. It's
right. Not, so, and they've convinced us that the individual ownership is the goal.
Ticket.
You know,
it's the way.
Is, well, I own a couple of rental properties, or I own, you know, I may even own an apartment complex. But none of us have our own incorporated city. So, whereas, yeah, I can own
even our reservation.
Yeah, you know, like,
you know what I'm saying, like, you ain't gotta own a whole city. You ain't own.
We don't have our reservations, or we run from the reservations that we would qualify to be a part of these different, what they call indigenous or indigenous nations. So we get caught up in, you know, well, if I own a couple of rental properties, I can rent them out. But then the property taxes or the maintenance or all of these things walk us down, and then we don't have enough corporate credit worthiness for us to maintain these properties in perpetuity. We, you know, we trying to piece it together, or, you know, do the work, you know, ourselves to say, well, yeah, I got somebody paying me, you know, enough over lunch money to rent this property for me. But then what happens when, again, the white people or the dominant people in society start to downsize their corporations and take away jobs from the people that rent from you? Then now you stuck with a property that you can't rent, but you still owe property tax on, that you still got to do maintenance on, you still got to keep lights on, and then you run through your money trying to maintain it, but it's like eventually it becomes a game of Monopoly where...
no matter where you land in, nigga... property taxes.
Yeah, you got property taxes.
We got patents. We got land patents.
Yeah, like,
you know what I'm saying? All across here.
You know, everyone what I'm saying?
A monopoly board. It's a monopoly.
And you know where that comes from? Is they've incorporated the city, and they done paid they dues. So now, if you want to own land in their corporation, then you got to pay a land patent royalty. And like they say, they're not making no more land. So
put your own goons on me. Oh, God.
I mean, yeah. So again, like I say, we started talking about, you know, owning your own masters and how there's a misconception. But it applies to this too, because you can say I own the land, but then
under the 508c1a or even the 501c3, they still let you get by on property taxes. You get by on property taxes
to an extent,
but to a big extent.
I mean,
it's them. How bigger than that you gonna really get? Other than that.
But you still got to be able to maintain it.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to be. They got to be able to maintain it as well, too. Everybody got to be. That's
no.
That's the power of a God. You have to be. God has to maintain all these seasons. You know, it just got to be maintained.
Son, you gotta got to have. You got to have insurance. That's a cost. Because guess what? If by act of God, hurricane, any of that.
Yeah. I mean, now what we really get smashed at is you got to really be find a way to get federally recognized as fast as possible. Because you got a lot of these little cities around here that's not big enough to even be federally recognized, or either not, is not under a certain title to be federally recognized. Mm-hmm. And they ain't getting that funding. That's why they ain't got no damn red lights. They ain't got no street lights.
Exactly.
They ain't got no
state and federal roads, you know, coming through their land. A lot of these unincorporated cities, you know what I'm saying? And then they can't go publicly borrow funds for the maintenance. You know what I'm saying? Because
put your own boom on.
They not like you said, federally recognized as a corporation that then produces jobs. See, all of these crown and estate taxes are for those that produce jobs. Period. And we've always run from job creation. We always want to maintain our status as being the black market. We need to have as a people is how to utilize the power of the corporation. When you look at the greatest collection of wealth in America, it was probably from 1900 to 1933. And all of those men who were still considered the richest men, you know, or in the top half of 1% of the richest men who've ever existed on the earth, you know, from your J.P. Morgan, John Rockefellers, and Andrew Carnegie. Baron Rothschilds, and all of those men used the power of the corporation to build their wealth. And then they designed the banking systems and payment systems to conduct their business through their corporations and trusts, and not through themselves, or even through their family, or even through their inheritances, or their beneficiaries, because they wanted to conceive a plan, in most cases, 100-year or 6-generation wealth plan that would move on despite the intelligence or wherewithal or ambition of their descendants. And then they implemented plans, you know, the Conrad Marriott's and W.W. Johnson, all of these different people, where they conducted their business through corporations and trusts to create a wealth factor that would outlive them, outlive any of their progeny, outlive probably even the existence of America, because they're so ingrained into the payment and banking and credit system that because their corporations or trusts are producing revenue, they'll always be able to get credit from somebody. They'll always be able to show revenue that outstrips whatever bills they may accumulate, or they'll always own enough stock
assets,
you know, in other different corporations that are dependent upon the systems that they created in this golden era between, like I say, 1900 to 1933, you know. And that included the Great Depression and all of those, you know, the ups and the downs. So as we grow into these roaring 20s of the 2000s, we have to take advantage of the systems, you know, that were created then. And, you know, we had some people who wanted to look into being able to take advantage, like Noble Drew Ali and Marcus Garvey, and, you know, those type of people. But we also have to look and see how those people were eliminated.
Yeah, the Nation of Islam did, a terrific job of being able to stick around.
The Nation of Islam has stuck around.
But yeah, again, and they got different manufacturing stuff, agriculture stuff, you know, that they try to have go on. I know a few brothers that actually patch up on, you know, meats and different stuff like that.
Right,
you know?
But again, like, we have declined to become merchants or farmers. And then when you decline to do both, you become a consumer. Like,
And they squeeze the farmers out.
Right. And they squeezed
a lot of the farmers out because they needed new equipment.
Right.
They needed it. Yeah, and it just... And by them being the sole, really, the purchaser,
mm-hmm.
it's sure all we got to do is just kind of get together and say, hey, you know, we ain't buying your corn at this amount no more. We got to buy it at this amount, you know, that fit our books so we can continue making money. And
right.
You say, well, I'm going to have to go and sell it to Joe over here. You go to Joe, said, well, you know, we got to buy kind of a little lower now, you know, and you go over here to Carl. Well, you know, we kind of got to buy the, and before you know it, you done went from, you know, $15 a pound to, you know, $7 a pound. You make it just enough to live, just enough to crop, because you didn't control any of the distribution channels. Mm-hmm. You just was a... So, evidently, in order to have true power, it seems that you really need to control at least 2 to 3 of the supply chain. You know, if you don't, then your ass grabbed. Just like that.
And that's what setting up systems of payment and credit. Like I say, they had 100-year plans.
100-year plans.
So
what?
Even if we look at, you know, the Federal Reserve Act of 1933.
Talk to him, brother.
We coming up on 87 years into that plan.
Federal Reserve Act of 19... Did it say it one more time?
33. So we coming up on 87 years into that plan. So... our target has to be 2033. And in this last 13 years of that plan, we have to take advantage of the corporate ownership segment and use the money and wealth that we've gathered to convert that all over to corporate and trust assets. Otherwise, we're going to be left behind again. So, I understand that they've given us this play entity, as I call it, a LLC. Thinking that, you know, they gave us a nugget for a path for us to break the chains of economic slavery. And we thought that it was our golden ticket. But the true golden ticket, and if you can, I mean, it's all in the tax code. When you look at the laws, how they changed them, and they shifted the plates of economic security up from up underneath us in 2017 with the tax law changes that Trump and the bankers and, you know, the treasury officials that he appointed, they made the rules all benefit the corporation. And that was by design. We don't get with the design changes.
Corporation and the trust.
Then we're going to get left holding the bag.
As it ain't going to be a good bag. Bag full of hot coals.
You know, one of my favorite movies is Harlem Nights. And, you know, Richie thought he was transporting heroin when it really was a sack of sugar, and it ain't nowhere where the value of a bag of sugar gonna equal up to a bag of heroin. So they say you can't get caught or fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
Y'all heard that.
So that's, you know, the premise of the lesson is the LLC is dead. And because we don't control the distribution, owning your own masters means nothing if you can't control the distribution or the payment system of how you get paid. So,
how do you think the RIAA pay ASCAP and BMI? And we're gonna close this out.
I mean,
we've been on for
it's a system of the RIAA collects payments from a number of different entities, from the radio stations, from the record labels, from the partners. You know, like, people don't understand that, like, there's a royalty system for everywhere where your music gets played, even if it's in a stadium.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
in a movie.
And actually, you can register some locations where you're going to play it. You just got to qualify. But a lot of places that you do stage performance at, it's not registered.
Right.
So, you know, they don't know.
So, a lot of those measures and levels of who controls and who actually pays out those payments have to be monitored so we're definitely going to talk about more things to come, and there's a Rich Faber Infinite Wealth Secrets course ebook discussion panel that's coming. But we have to learn how to look at money through the prism of creating wealth through our corporate entities and not the entities of ourselves, because ultimately, we're going to meet our demise. And if you don't have a plan of succession, then the beneficiaries that you're doing this for are going to either be lost or they're going to lose everything that you built. Say there are very few families that built wealth during those times that lost it, but there are examples like the Vanderbilts. And to an extent the Astor families, you know, but if we design a system where we can take advantage of the corporate trust system, you really can live your best life. And you can do it through the corporate credit that you retain by signing your assets to your corporation or trust.